That was wonderful. How about a round of applause for our host and those wonderful words? Uriel Lynn, thank you so much. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you so much to the Federation for bringing together so many men and women of such consequence in business and enterprise here in Israel. We are very, very honored to be with all of you today. And to others that have been mentioned, I do want to thank AmCham. Thank you for your wonderful comments today and for the hospitality, and to the other honored guests who've been here and been mentioned, but especially Dr. Frankel, thank you. We're terribly honored to have someone of your stature here today, and you could give him another round of applause. I was really excited to hear he was going to be here. Thank you so very much. It is really a joy for us to be with you today and to really celebrate. Celebrate what is a friendship between the great state of Indiana and the state of Israel. I can say to you from my heart, Hoosiers have cherished our relationship with the people of Israel for generations. And it warms my heart to see so many of you poured out here today with an appreciation and a willing ear about opportunities that may be presented to you in the state of Indiana. And let me say emphatically, I'm really here for two reasons. First, I am here because I support Israel. And secondly, I am here to promote the advantages of doing business in the state of Indiana. In my meeting with the Prime Minister yesterday, I must have gotten a little extra animated in telling Indiana's story, and I just talked about my real passion. And Uriel spoke about it today eloquently. My real passion for making sure that business leaders here in Israel know about the advantages of doing business in the heartland, especially in the Hoosier State. And I got a little wound up, and I literally said to him, sitting across that large conference table in his office, I said, well, I want to make the point to get the message to business leaders here in Israel about what a great place Indiana is to do business. And he looked at me with a smile and said, well, talking to me is a good start. And then he said, but you should also talk to our business leaders. And I said, well, that's tomorrow. And so let me just say thank you. Thank you again for coming out and giving me the opportunity to tell Indiana's story and share a little bit of our heart from the Hoosier State about the great state of Israel. This is our third trip. My wife, Karen, who will celebrate an undisclosed birthday, is with me today. Karen, would you mind standing up? First Lady of the State of Indiana is here. It's actually our third trip in the last 10 years to the state of Israel, but it's my first opportunity to visit as governor of the state of Indiana. I served in the Congress of the United States for 12 years, a time in which I served as the ranking member of the Middle East Subcommittee on the Foreign Affairs Committee, and it was my high honor during that season to have the late Congressman Tom Lantos ask me to be the founding co-chair of the Anti-Semitism Caucus in the House of Representatives. But I will tell you, having been here for the last week, that while the sights and history inspire awe when you're in this incredible land, I'm most inspired by what this nation stands for. The self-reliance, determination, and entrepreneurial spirit that defines who you are as a people. I really believe the foundation of both of our countries is freedom. The freedoms enabled your entrepreneurs to apply groundbreaking advancements in technology and innovation to fields ranging from agriculture, medicine, biotechnology, communications, and civilian defense. Israel has shown the world how to turn scarcity into plenty, sickness into health, and how, as the saying goes, to make her wastelands like a garden. And let me say, Hoosiers are made of the same stuff. Although slightly smaller in population, Indiana has roughly the same size economy as Israel, both hovering around the $300 billion GDP mark. Like our Israeli friends in Indiana, we like to make things and grow things, including strong entrepreneurs. Now, maybe that accounts for the strong economic relationship our state and companies across this storied nation already enjoy. The growth we've experienced together is really remarkable. Here's a couple of statistics to whet your appetite. Indiana exported $57.2 million in goods to Israel in 2013 alone. To give you a frame of reference, that's a 61% increase since 2005. But it's not just our Hoosier companies thriving here in Israel. Israeli companies are finding a prosperous home in the Hoosier state. Israeli companies like Tadatel, ACS Motion Control, Resin Partners, Keter Plastics, and others are all operating and prospering in the state of Indiana. Along with that, in the other direction, there's more than 70 Indiana companies that do business here in Israel, including Biomet, Eli Lilly, Magnavox, and Alcoa. From 2010 to 2013, Indiana imported an average of $154 million in merchandise from Israel every year. And from 2010 to 2013, Indiana exported, as I mentioned, an average of over $50 million in merchandise every year. And in 2012, Indiana received some $25 million in military financing for U.S. military aid to Israel. Some of the companies in Indiana that have participated in your national defense include CNC Industries in Fort Wayne, Indiana Heat Transfer in Marshall, Indiana, and M General in South Bend, Indiana. And let me say with some pride, our universities in Indiana have also enjoyed a strong relationship with Israel. Several of our universities have shared binational agricultural grants, and I know that organization is represented here today. And that's been going on since 1979. And as your Consul General, Roy Gilad, told me personally, Indiana University sends more students to Israel every year than any other university in the United States of America. And we're just so grateful for that good word. And Consul General, thank you again for your incredible hospitality during our visit. Mrs. Pence is applauding there, so you all could join her. He's really been wonderful. So action and collaboration really define both Israel and Indiana today. Israelis are on the move, launching businesses at a tremendous rate. You're growing your economy through sweat and determination, taking dreams and running with them. Beyond just the basics, though, if you look at the types of businesses that are thriving here in Israel, you'll find those businesses already thriving in Indiana as well. Look at advanced manufacturing and high-tech firms, just as a case in point. In Indiana, they call us a crossroads of America because, frankly, all roads lead to Indiana, right? We're in the middle of everywhere. But I prefer to think that Indiana, rather, is at the crossroads of innovation in America, especially when it comes to areas like aerospace and manufacturing. Today in the aerospace area, Indiana is actually home to the largest North American defense-related jet engine plant for Rolls-Royce, which employs 4,000 Hoosiers and will celebrate 100 years in our state next year. And GE Aviation made big news in the last year when the world's largest jet engine manufacturer announced it would be building a 225,000-square-foot jet engine facility in Lafayette, Indiana, adjacent to Purdue University. And GE also needed a place to conduct research and test the performance of their new gas turbine engine technology, which is used by commercial and military aircraft. So they turned again to Indiana, to a public and private partnership to build a turbo machinery research facility at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. With that partnership, our state will gain more engineers, scientists, and technicians, and GE will help advance aerospace technology in the world. But it doesn't just stop with aerospace, which I know is such an enormously important industry here in Israel. Tech-based employment, and I know a number of tech firms represented here and at other events we've had across Israel this week. Tech-based employment is also growing rapidly in Indiana. In the last 5 years, computer-related employment in Indiana grew 6 times faster than the state's overall job market. The Indianapolis area, our capital city, even ranks among the nation's top 10 fastest-growing tech communities. And that's an extraordinary statement of the energy and enthusiasm that we have in high tech in the heart of our state. In a word, I like to say Indiana's open for business. And Indiana's always a good decision because Indiana's a state that works. And I can only do 3 cliches in a row. That's my limit. Over the past 10 years, that's all been true because, frankly, we've been putting common sense into practice. We've been putting it into practice, and it's made us It's made us recognized ultimately these days as, frankly, the best state in the Midwest to do business and one of the best states in America to start a business or grow a business or relocate a business. And it's not just me saying so. Here's a couple of examples. Area Development Magazine's top states for doing business, September of this year, ranked Indiana best in the Midwest, seventh overall in America. Business Facilities, state rankings for 2014, listed Indiana best in the Midwest, fifth in the nation. Chief Executive Magazine said we were number one in the Midwest, number six in the nation in their best and worst states survey. And the Tax Foundation in Washington, D.C., ranked our state business tax climate as number one in the Midwest and number eight nationally. And there's good reason for all those ratings. It's not just the fact that Indiana's gross domestic product is growing rapidly, grew 3.3% in 2012 compared to a national rate of 2.5%, but rather it's simply because we're doing the fundamentals. In Indiana, our budgets are balanced. We hold the line on spending. The state budget in Indiana under my administration is not growing any faster than the family budgets of the people of Indiana. We also maintain strong reserves, 12.5% of annual spending in the state of Indiana, $2 billion in the bank. In fact, I'm proud to say Indiana is one of only a handful of states in America that has a AAA bond rating from all three major credit rating agencies in our country. It was a long pause for applause. I'm particularly proud of that one. I thought for sure. I'd get Dr. Frankel on that one. But all kidding aside, you know, as businesses are looking to invest, and as many of you in this room may be looking for places to grow your business or expand your business in the states, that you'll be looking for certainty. And in the state of Indiana, we have a strong balance sheet, and we have a stable environment where the cost of government will not go up in unexpected ways because the people of Indiana believe in living within our means. But that's not all we do in Indiana to create a pro-business environment. I'm pleased to say that after investing in infrastructure and investing in education and innovation, in my first year in office, we passed the largest state tax cut in Indiana history. We lowered the corporate income tax rate. Ultimately, it will be 4.9%, which will be tied for the second lowest corporate tax rate of any state in America. We have no inventory tax, no inheritance tax, and business personal property taxes are capped at 3%. We're really a state that knows our strengths and knows our goals. We excel in advanced manufacturing and building products that power the world. And of course, the foundation of our economy, as has been mentioned before, really the foundation of any economy, as Uriel mentioned, is education. So we put a priority on thinking fresh and thinking new about education in the state of Indiana. In the upcoming session of our General Assembly, before I came to Israel, outlined our priorities. And the state's largest newspaper called our agenda the most comprehensive agenda for education reform for the state of Indiana in the last 20 years. And I was humbled by that. Our objective, very simply, in the state of Indiana is to say that no matter where a student wants to start in life, whether they want to head off to college or whether they want to start their career, our schools are going to work for all of our kids. To that end, we've increased funding for our schools and expanded educational choices for parents and for students. I'm proud to say the state of Indiana now will soon have the largest educational voucher program in the United States of America, affording additional school choices to some 30,000 people who might not otherwise have them. And probably closest to my passion right now is, in addition to increasing funding for our traditional schools, expanding choices for our parents, Indiana is down the road and will soon be able to say that we're the first state in America to make career and vocational education a priority in every high school in our state again. You know, I truly do believe that career and technical education, done aright, opens doors of opportunities to students through work-based experience and industry-recognized credentials. It's very much the way it was when I was growing up in a small town in southern Indiana. We had two major industries in a town of some 40,000 people. In fact, one of which may ring a bell, Cummins Engine Company, which is a global manufacturer. And I remember coming to school back in the 1970s, and some people would walk in the door and turn left and go off to some advanced placement classes and get ready to go to college, and others would turn right and go down to what we used to call industrial arts. And that was the way it very much was in the industrial Midwest. But somewhere along the way, America, like many other industrialized countries, moved career and vocational education to post-secondary. But I believe the time has come to bring it back, to begin to make a commitment to open up career education pathways for our young people. We'll prepare every student in Indiana to be ready to go to college. We'll pour that foundation so every child will have that opportunity. We're going to open up doors of opportunity in partnership with businesses in the state of Indiana to allow young people to get career and technical education, including industry-recognized credentials, even before they graduate from high school, so they can step out and fill the jobs that are open in Indiana today and will be open when your business chooses the Hoosier State. In the most recent school year, more than 140,000 Indiana students already participated in career and vocational education. More than 4,000 received industry credentials before they graduated. And we announced a goal just in the last month to increase that number by a factor of 5 by the year 2020. I believe graduates of our career and technical education system are going to be the Hoosiers that go on to work for the Alcoas, the Biomeds, the Raytheons, and the Eli Lillys of the world. And let me be very clear on this point. I'm not talking about a plan A and a plan B. I'm talking about two plan A's. I always say when I'm home, and I'll say it here in Israel, I don't want to see a show of hands, but I know you're out there. The men and women that started your careers right after you graduated from secondary education, or what we call high school in the States. The truth of the matter is, I really do believe that success begets success. And if you allow a young person to start their life and start their career on their terms, then they're going to discover things about themselves and realize their full potential in their life, and they'll be the business leaders in our country and in our state in the years ahead. I believe it with all my heart. So Indiana and Israel have so much in common. Now, I see the entrepreneurial spirit in this room. It's the same one that I see in the current and future business leaders in the state of Indiana. It really is that spirit that joins us today, and the same spirit that underlies the alliance between our nations. And at this time of the year, as people in my tradition particularly focus on the ideals of hope and peace, I can't help but reflect. In the time I have remaining, on the relationship between the United States and Israel, a relationship that has deep and enduring roots that go back well beyond the restoration of the Jewish state of Israel on May 14, 1948. The ties between our countries are much deeper and more profound than policies and trade. As I told Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday, Israel is not merely an important ally. From my vantage point on the Foreign Affairs Committee for a decade, and now as a governor of a state in the heart of the heartland, I say with conviction, Israel's not merely our strongest ally in the Middle East. Israel is America's most cherished ally, and you are a beacon of hope for all of the world. I say that knowing these are especially difficult times in the life of your nation. Surely Israel is once again in the eye of a hurricane. 51 days of war this year. Iranian nuclear ambitions unimpeded. The rise of a terrorist army in Syria whose brutality has shocked the world, and whose brutality claimed the life of a courageous aid worker from the state of Indiana this fall. A courageous young man who'd simply gone to Syria to render aid to victims of the war. In the midst of these troubled times across the Middle East and the wider world, it's imperative that those of us who believe in democracy and freedom stand firm against the forces that would reshape the land by aggression and terror. In these challenging times, if the world knows nothing else, let it know this. America stands with Israel. For more than 66 years, America has stood by Israel in her darkest hours, but I believe the time has come for our nation to take concrete steps to renew our commitment to Israel's safety and security in word and in deed. For starters, regarding Israel's security, I believe America must uphold Israel's right to live in peace within secure and defensible borders and this week must reject any effort by the UN Security Council to impose conditions on negotiations that would undermine Israel's security. There are also steps that will strengthen our security and the economies of both of our nations. First, I believe America must continue providing foreign assistance to Israel. With full military financing and funding for research and development of anti-rocket and missile technology systems, which support Israel's security and, frankly, jobs across America. Secondly, as our nation is faced with increasingly complex security challenges in these present times, I believe America should renew production of our most advanced aircraft and consider making it available to our most cherished ally. This, too, would promote the security and prosperity of the United States and Israel. Production of the F-22 ceased in 2012 after only 187 of the world's most advanced fighter bombers were produced. Resuming production of the F-22 would give a needed jolt to our economy, supporting up to 95,000 highly paid and skilled jobs in 44 states, and it would send a decisive message to the world about America's commitment to national defense. And since the Raptor is the best plane capable of evading the advanced radar in the surface-to-air missile defense system that Russia says it would provide to Iran to guard its would-be nuclear weapons facilities, following U.S. production, I think the United States of America should consider making this aircraft available to Israel to ensure that this nation has the most advanced capability to protect your country and your freedom now and in the future. We should not be afraid to take such steps, because we should never doubt our right of self-defense, and our economies and our strategic interests are intertwined. But we should also be prepared to take such steps because our ties go far beyond economic and strategic interests. The truth is, America and Israel are bound together by a common foundation, a belief in faith, in family, democracy, and liberty, a belief that's grounded in the timeless truths of the Bible. And on that foundation, I can assure you that millions across Indiana and America pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that those who love her would be secure and pray for her prosperity. For as Israel and America prosper, so prospers freedom. You know, outside Bethlehem on what, for my family, was Christmas Eve, we visited the shepherd's field, where my faith teaches that angels appeared to shepherds to herald the birth of Jesus. As I stood beneath the stars that night, I heard in my mind the anthem that I had heard so many times this time of year, growing up in a little church in southern Indiana. And I thought in that moment of the immense contribution that the people of Israel have made to the world, both before and after that holy night. In Indiana, we cherish that heritage and those shared values. And we long to build on that foundation for a more prosperous future for your people and for ours. So on behalf of the millions of Hoosiers who share that conviction, I say from the bottom of my heart, we will never abandon our most cherished ally, the Jewish state of Israel. We will never forget Jerusalem, her eternal capital. And we will never fail to pray that God might bless all the good people of every faith who call her home, now and forever. See you in Indiana. Thank you.